Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Would you buy a murder house?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? Would you buy a murder house, a house that someone has been murdered in?
What, recently?
Yeah, say within the last 5 years.
Am I getting a good deal on it?
There was a single murder 3 years ago.
Is it a good deal?
They've knocked 15 grand off.
15 grand.
Off a 500.
Off a Dublin house.
Off, yeah, say half a mil. And yeah, 485 you're looking at.
No.
How?
That's not worth it.
What would you be looking at?
50%.
50%?
Yeah. How do I know in this criminal enterprise, in this fucking house, that they haven't stashed something in the walls and they're coming back for it?
Okay, the house has been thoroughly searched. Like forensic.
They've knocked through every wall.
Well, I'm not saying that. We're not talking about like drug fucking cartel.
Right.
We're talking about a single murder occurred within this house.
Yeah, I'd live in it.
So you don't have any, like the creepy side of it doesn't bother you. But the money, you'd be wanting a bargain.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this?
That's the Yorkshireman in me.
Yeah. How about this? 50 years ago, a murder occurred, yeah? So there's a bit of time between it. There's been new wallpaper, new floors probably in that time.
Yeah.
Pretty much a different house.
Right.
But it was a brutal mass murder. It's got a bad vibe.
Murder's murder. Like, one.
You've also got to deal with, if it's like kind of a notorious murder, you've got like those fucking weirdos coming by to peep in your windows.
Yeah, but you can make some out of that, can't you?
Would you want to be sat there on a Tuesday evening and have some little freak peeping in your window because, oh,
well,
that's
yeah,
where the so-and-so family.
Yeah, if you've got people coming round wanting to look at the house, you exploit them. You go, yeah, I'll take you for a tour around the house.
Of a Tuesday evening when you're trying to sit in and have your cup of tea, a few sausages, Yorkshire puddings,
a bit of gravy. You just put a Clues sign outside.
It's not a business. It's your home.
No, but you make it a business.
No, but the point I'm making, would it bother you to live in a house? Because you believe in ghosts and all that shit.
Hmm.
You know, you kind of believe in, you know, that kind of the feeling you get and the kind of the energies.
Yeah.
Would it bother you? If we went to go look at houses now and, you know, you're like, ooh, like this one. I told you, yeah, three people were slaughtered here.
Yeah.
15
years
ago.
At first I'd be like, ooh. And then you'd go, yeah, but they've knocked 50% off. Buy it.
Not 50, 20%.
20% is not a lot.
So there is like a line with you. You do feel a certain way about a murder house.
No. Like my worry was like, if someone's coming back to that house.
Yeah.
But if it's just a murder and done, then I'm, what are you laughing at?
A murder and done.
Yeah, it was just a one and done. Like, and then you were talking about mass murder, but if you're going to go in the house, murder's murder. Doesn't matter.
No, but the mass murder kind of thing I'm talking about is, you know, the kind of
spec
murder tourism type people. People who want to go. You know, like we talked about with Fritz Honka.
Yeah.
That people now go to the bar. It's become a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Mm.
Obviously, murder's murder, Neil.
Yeah. Is that funny?
A little bit. But see, it wouldn't bother me at all. It's been and done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't feel like, ooh, there's bad energy here. Ooh.
That's what I mean. Like, nearly every house in the world someone's died in.
No, but you don't like my grandparents' house. You think it's got a kind of a creepy energy to it.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And my mum has said the same. She, in the same room that you said, she said that she feels like a bad energy. And she's always said that. And when you said it to me, I never told you about her feelings.
Mm.
And you said the exact same. I'm like, oh, that's funny you say that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I personally don't feel it. I love that room.
It was like a study. And I walked.
Still is. They're not dead.
Walked in. Oh, yeah. Megan's family has a study in their house.
And, don't you know?
And yeah, I walked in and I was like, feel horrible in here. Like, I didn't feel like I was wanted in that room.
I love that room.
And then I went home, told your mum, and before I could even say it was the study, she went, the study.
But I was like, what? I you know, if you get a feeling, you get a feeling. But I think it feels nice in there. It's cozy. Like, the walls are lined with books. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a library. Who wants that? Who's got time to read?
My grandparents, apparently.
I wouldn't have time to read. Like, we've probably got... I think we've upped our book collection at the minute. I think we've got about 10 books. I haven't read one.
It's a house full of dyslexics here, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? Takes us a bit of time to get through a book.
Yeah.
I can read it if it's for research. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm doing it for something, but I struggle to sit down myself and read a full book. You know?
Yeah, Megan was actually listening to an audiobook the other day.
I gave up.
It's the most brutal thing I've ever heard.
And not brutal in terms of murder. Just, it wasn't good.
No.
No. It was the narrator. I think a big part of it was him.
Oh, because he was English?
Yes. Yeah. Part of it was because, you know those books where you can tell they're just throwing random shite in to fill the space?
Mm.
That was pissing me off. But it was the narrator a lot as well. He was doing too much, you know? He was really boring, and then he'd randomly put on a voice, and I was like, I can't deal with this. It's cringy. No. So anyway, to sum up, you would buy a murder house, but the Yorkshire man's coming out and you're wanting a good bargain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd barter.
But you're not bothered about the aura of it.
What?
Bad energy and that.
No.
No. You'll live with it.
Yeah.
Or the murder tourists.
Yeah.
You're fine with that. You're going to turn it into a business.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we have a shout out.
We do indeed.
So this week, we have Alison.
Ali Pally, like the venue.
What?
The venue for the darts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ali Pally.
Okay, yeah.
Alexandra Palace.
Yeah, very good.
Mm.
I'd got two. So we've got Muhammad Allison.
Yes, Muhammad Ali, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this one I'm very proud of. The Ali Lama.
Ali Lama.
Now,
spiritual leader for the mortals.
Yeah. Mm. I'd heard of the Dalai Lama, but I had to run. So I don't usually tell Megan what I've come up with for a shout out, but I had to ask her this one because I was like, is it offensive? Like, I don't actually know what it. Did he bark?
He did.
Lost me thread. Yeah. So I didn't actually know what a Dalai Lama was.
Mm.
So I said to Megan, am I okay to say it? And she's like, yeah.
I mean, you might offend someone, but in the last episode, you went, oh, Catholics. So.
And tampon.
Tampon, yeah. You called someone else a horse.
a dead horse.
Yeah. So I don't think you're actually too bothered about offending people.
Yeah, but when it comes into like religion and race and stuff like that, it's, you know, it's a different playing field.
Yeah, well, fucking obviously.
So are we going with Ali Lama?
Ali Lama, spiritual guidance for the mortals.
Yeah.
Very good.
So thank you for your spiritual guidance.
We appreciate
you. And your Patreon subscription.
Yeah, if any of you guys want to support us, you can head to Patreon. If not, if you haven't already, please consider leaving us a rating or review because it really does help the podcast. Helps push us out there to potential mortals.
And I like reading them as well.
I say potential mortals. We're all mortals.
Yeah.
But one of us.
Yeah.
One of us.
Yeah, it does help us, but I like to read them as well.
You can't read.
I can read. I just don't like to read.
You just need your finger across the word.
But if it's about me, I'll read it.
Very on brand for you.
Do you find true crime podcasts too murdery?
Do you breathe oxygen?
If you've answered yes to any of these questions, then we have the podcast for you.
Live, Laugh, Larceny, a true petty crime podcast, brings the drama to dumb criminal stories, presenting each crime as a fully produced short story.
variety show podcast has it all. Sound effects, parody songs, terrible reenactments, and did we mention drama?
Join us, Amanda and Trevin, each Wednesday as we share our dreadful dilemmas, killer facts, and then jump into the sick and twisted world of petty crimes. Let's roll the clip.
Amy had another solution. To dance. Using her drunken misstep as the starting point, Amy's feet quickly improvised an Irish jig. The river dance continued to pick up the pace as she spun around and proceeded to stomp her feet rapidly on the hard ground. You can find Live, Laugh, Larceny on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye.
See ya.
So, what you got for us today?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be taking a look at some unusual deaths and some of the more bizarre locations that bodies have been found.
Well, like on a roof?
I don't have a roof for you today.
Okay.
This was just going to be a quick kind of episode, you know, with a few mini stories. But there were so many. So we'll definitely be doing a two, probably a three, four part down the line. See, maybe sooner than you think.
See, the reason why I said on the roof, I thought you was when you was meaning like weird place to find a body, I thought you meant like, how did it get up there? Like in a tree or something.
I'll look for, you want a tree or a roof or do you want both?
Both.
Okay, I'll look for them for the next episode. Okay. I'm sure there's some there. I can think of one with a roof, but it involves a cow falling through the roof. Don't want to give it away.
Oh, it jumped on the trampoline. Oh no, that were a bear. And that were a tree, not a roof. And they shoot it out of a tree and it hit a trampoline and bounced off.
Is that in an episode of My Name is Earl?
Oh, I thought that was a real thing.
I'm getting a vague image of My Name is Earl where they see it happen to a bear and then they do the same thing with Randy. You know, they do the episodes where it's cops?
I think they did, but I think it's a real thing as well.
Oh, okay.
Like, they don't shoot it. I think it's tranquilizer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it bounced off the trampoline.
I'll have a look for it. The Murphy bed. Have you ever feared sleeping in a fold-up bed?
No, but I do now.
Yeah, you should. They're very sus to me.
Them fucking ones what go into the, like, a wardrobe.
Yes. Yeah. Usually into just a wall, isn't it?
No, they usually go into a wardrobe. You'd open the doors and
then... It's a fucking Narnia, Neil.
What?
Into a wardrobe.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I've only seen them just latch onto the wall.
Look it up. They go into a wardrobe. Who has a bed just up the wall?
People who don't have a lot of space in their homes.
Yeah, they build a wardrobe frame around it. So they just open the doors and they pull the frame out. So when it's up against the wall, it just looks like a fucking sideboard or something on the wall.
In August of 2005, the bodies of 67-year-old Mildred Bowman and 62-year-old Alice Wardle were found crushed in the Murphy bed of their hotel room in Benidorm.
Had to be Benidorm.
Of all the ways you can picture to do yourself harm in Benidorm, that's not at the top of your list, is it?
See, to do with that bed, someone like you, you'd be grand, but someone like me, I'd be fucked. You lay on your back, so it'd fold up and you'd bend naturally with it. I lay on my front, so it just snapped my spine.
Mildred and Alice were sisters and also holidaying with other family members. They'd gone back to their room for a rest, but after the other members of the family noticed that they hadn't reappeared and were unable to make contact, they alerted hotel staff. And they would later find their bodies.
Why were sisters in the bed together? Oh.
It's Benidorm.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
Like
what?
Like incense.
Incest, I know. They were sharing a hotel room, Neil.
Yeah, but they were sharing the same bed.
Cheaper. I mean, if you're going to Benidorm on a holiday, you're usually going for a cheaper holiday, aren't you? You're going for like a package holiday now.
But it's already cheap. And you get a bed each. And one more don't go into a wardrobe.
Now, I'm not entirely sure of the timeline here. One article said that they'd been laid in the bed for 4 days, but that seems an extraordinary amount of time for others not to have noticed.
Yeah. 4 hours.
Their cause of death was asphyxiation, And in an absolutely horrifying detail, their hands were cut and bruised from their attempts to free themselves. Or, you know, it was Benidorm. Maybe they'd gotten to a street fight the night before.
Okay, yeah. How did I know that you were going to make some shitty comment about Benidorm?
Because it's Benidorm. And it's me speaking about Benidorm.
We have a lot of British listeners. You're going to upset a lot of people.
Probably, yeah.
Slagging off Benny.
Yeah. You know, all fairness, I've never been. But that said, I don't ever want to go.
And to do with suffocation, that's a bit of a stretch because I'd say this is more suicide, and I'll tell you why. Because their head was against the wall and...
You think it was suicide?
Yeah. Hear me out. So the bed came up.
Mm-hmm.
So your head is by the floor and your feet are up top. I don't like the way you're looking at me. You'll get what I mean. It'd be so easy to get out of that because you just push your hands against the wall and your feet against the bed at the top. And as the bed starts coming away from the wall, you walk down the mattress, keep pushing and keep pushing until it's open.
Okay, well, I don't think it's as easy as you're envisioning it to be. But what had happened in this case was the frame of the bed had actually detached from the wall, trapping the two women inside, causing them to suffocate. So they're...
Oh, you left that bit out.
They're trapped in... They're basically sandwiched in this fucking contraption.
So you made me look a gobshite. You left that out. I didn't know it had broke.
Well, I have another detail for you. Do you know the way you were trying to convince me to go on holiday in Benidorm?
Yeah.
Where this happened was actually one of the hotels that we were looking at.
Oh, brilliant.
Mm.
Well, I've been to Benidorm many times and I've never stayed in one of these beds what go into a wardrobe.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. They, because I know, you know, you're a hooer for Benidorm. You love it.
Mm.
They booked their holiday with My Travel. Did you ever use them?
Yes.
Because this was 2005. They've since been taken over by, I don't know, I want to say Thomas Cook or some shit like that.
I think I did use them, yes.
Yeah, I thought you would have done. They're also from the northeast of England, by the way. Their deaths were said to have been completely avoidable, as the bed had not been properly installed, as well as the fact that the women had not been informed of how to correctly lower the bed, nor were there any instructions in the room.
Instructions?
Yeah, for how to properly pull down the bed. I think you had to like pull out the leg, you know, like latch it on kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with something like that, you know, you do want to know what the fuck you're doing. I'd be wary sleeping in a Murphy bed.
I've never.
And now you are.
Yeah, I've never thought about it until now. But the bed, what I've always been afraid of is a water bed. I'm afraid I'm going to drown in my sleep. Why is that funny?
You're afraid you're going to drown?
It's a lot of water.
I suppose if you're sleeping face down, yeah.
Which I do.
No, you don't really. You kind of sleep on your side.
I bloody don't. I lay on my front.
No, but you're turned to the side. You're like, you're angled.
Yeah, but if it bursts and my head goes in it while I'm asleep, which you know nothing wakes me up, that's it. I'm done. I'm done for.
That is a fair point, well made.
So why is that funny, but I'm scared of drowning on a waterbed? Yeah.
I didn't say it was funny. I just, I hadn't thought about it, much like you hadn't thought of the Murphy bed.
So are you the same as me? Now you've thought about it, are you worried about a waterbed?
No, but I don't get waterbeds. I've never slept on one, but I just feel like you'd never be able to settle. You'd just be fucking jiggling about the gaff all night.
Yeah.
Mm. The cryotherapy chamber. In October of 2015 in Nevada, the body of Chelsea Aki Silvacion was found slumped inside of a cryotherapy chamber.
What's that, something you get into to cry? Is it a therapy thing or...?
No, so during a cryotherapy session, you're exposed to extremely low temperatures of between minus 200 to minus 240 Fahrenheit, or minus 128 to minus 150 degrees Celsius.
Who the fuck wants to do that?
A lot of people do it, you know, like athletes and shit like that. Instead of like an ice bath, they'll go into one of these chambers.
I bet more than one person's died in that.
Well, you're also only meant to do it for short periods of time, about 3 minutes.
I wouldn't do
it's,
3 seconds.
It's the same kind of thing, you know, plunge pools, ice baths. It's that kind of thing. It's just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, plunge pool, you jump in and you get straight out. That's why it's called a plunge pool.
I mean, I was trying to look up, see if this was medically backed. I think at the time when this happened, it wasn't. Now, I'm kind of not sure. I can't get like a definitive answer. It seems as though it's kind of being more, I don't want to say advised or recommended.
Yeah.
But it's kind of more accepted as a treatment option.
The only thing I've ever heard is having a cold shower before you go to bed will help you sleep.
Or have a cold shower to calm yourself down.
Huh?
Now, Chelsea actually worked at the spa where this happened. And after closing up for the night, she decided to use the cryotherapy chamber. The next morning, her co-worker arrives at work and finds her car still in the car park. Now, you're not supposed to use the chamber for more than, you know, 3 or so minutes because of the extremely low temperatures. But it's thought that Chelsea could have stayed in for longer than the suggested time. And with oxygen levels, which would normally be at around 21%, dropping as low as 5%, it's thought she suffocated due to the low oxygen levels caused by the use of nitrogen to keep the chamber cold. It was also later reported that the spa where Chelsea worked was not even licensed to perform cosmetic or other procedures. So with that, it doesn't instill a lot of faith that the staff received adequate training for these machines.
Mm.
But according to her family's attorney, Chelsea had texted a friend stating that she believed there could have been a nitrogen leak in the machine. Though it seems very odd that she would choose to use the machine after hours on her own if she believed there was an issue with it. If it's true that she did message someone about her concerns, it would make you question whether she did this deliberately.
Hmm. See, you're questioning it now. I said it about the fold-up bed. That could have been deliberate.
How so? Like, that would be a very odd way to choose to go. To crush yourself to death.
Because you could have got out of that. And they chose not to. Like, I'm saying I'd be able to do that on my own, and there were two of them. So I think that were a suicide pact.
Do you really?
In Benidorm.
Yeah. That's the way you would want to go.
Yeah, I'd go in Benidorm.
Live your last days out to the fullest on the mechanical bull and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won a t-shirt on that mechanical bull.
The Stegosaurus.
What?
In 2021 in Barcelona, the body of a 39-year-old man was found inside a statue of a Stegosaurus. His body was discovered by a father and son who, when they walked past, noticed something through a crack in the statue.
Sorry, what did you say?
Not the crack of the statue.
What did you say, crack? Right. If you see Ace Ventura when he's coming out of Rhino's ass, I'd got an image in my head of the father and son walking past and there's just an arm hanging out of this dinosaur statue out of the arse of it.
The fire department were called in to cut open the statue and recover his body.
Sorry, you said they cut the statue open to get him out?
Yeah.
So how'd he get in?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Sorry.
No foul play was suspected. Instead, it's believed that the man had attempted to retrieve his phone, entering head first, and he became trapped inside the leg of the papier-mâché dinosaur. Papier-mâché.
I have so many questions. How the fuck did his phone get in there?
I've no idea. I've no, like, did he get in a fight with, like, I don't know, his girlfriend or something? She went, fuck you, and threw his phone? Or did he, like, did a bird fly down and, you know, flap at him? And it, you know.
Or was he fucking, like, I need to get a photo of inside this papier-mâché statue?
Like, from how it's described, you know, like, they said he was head first. So even if his phone was in his hand, they probably thought, you know, why would you get in head first if it was a case of wanting a photo?
Well, you would go in head first, wouldn't you?
Why would you go in head first?
If you're wanting a photo of
inside.
Oh
my God, why would you go in head first? No, because now I'm concerned about you. I can never bring you to a theme park. There's a dinosaur theme park in Benidorm, isn't there?
Yes.
We're not going there now, Neil. No, you would like slide in feet first. So your head is sticking out of the dinosaur.
No, because you're not going to. You're wanting to take a photo of inside the
How
dinosaur.
Can you take one inside if you're upside down?
I'm not saying you're thinking of a selfie. of him hanging out of a dinosaur's asshole.
Why is he taking a picture of Dark?
I'm saying, is he trying to take a picture inside the dinosaur? Like,
why would he do that?
Just to see what it's like in there. I don't know. That's what I was asking you.
No, I don't believe so. I think this was an accident.
Right.
It's thought he'd been in there for a few days, and he'd only been reported missing by his family a few hours previous to discovery.
So they found our phone ping.
What?
I'm just saying random words. No, they found his location. Phone ping. No, dinosaur.
Yeah.
They searched the location on his phone, tracked it.
Yeah.
And pinged it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, he went to that theme park.
No. The father and son found him.
Oh, yeah.
But he was just reported, because he was 39. So, you know, maybe say his parents hadn't seen him for a few days. You know, they're not necessarily going to think anything of it. But maybe if they tried calling them and couldn't get through.
My parents wouldn't hear from me in a few years and still not phone the police. Like, I'm a horsepipe kid.
Well, it's just because people say that a lot, like, oh, it was days and no one said anything. It's like, yeah, but people are busy. They've got work. They've got kids. They've got, you know, they've got other shit going on, you know? The hot springs.
Now, they do scare me.
Do they?
They should. They get fucking hot.
They do. Just a little bit.
The steam what comes off of them and people are like, oh, I'd love to jump in that. Would you? You'd love to boil alive.
Well... On the 7th of June, 2016, 23-year-old Colin Scott and his sister, Sable, were hiking through Yellowstone National Park. That's a right name, isn't it? Sable.
Yellowstone?
No, Sable. His sister's name is Sable. Just said it.
There was a wrestler called Sable.
Colin and Sable, that's where my mind went as well.
Was it Gladiators?
Oh, was it? I thought wrestler. When I was writing it up, I was like, yeah.
It was either a diva or it was a gladiator.
I think you're right. I think it was a gladiator.
Sable. I used to like Jet.
What about Wolf?
Oh, Wolf. Wolfie. You're an asshole.
As they made their way through the park, they venture off the designated path, ignoring the warning signs in search of hot springs to soak in. Which is incredibly dangerous, as these waters can reach boiling point.
Yeah. See, you women would be all right. Because the temperatures you have your baths is fucking ridiculous. So you'd be used to it.
Well, I don't have a bath.
No.
I don't have a shower.
But the female, like, kind, when they have baths.
Yeah.
The fucking temperature they have it.
They're not boiling. Boiling point.
Fucking are.
You also tend to shower hotter than I do. I prefer to be a little bit cooler.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Whereas when you shower, it's like, that is scalding me. So just poked a massive hole in your fucking logic. The area that they were in was on the edge of the Yellowstone caldera, a super volcano. And although the chances of eruption are unlikely within the next few thousand years... The caldera's activity does impact the temperature of the springs.
Well, it would with lava going into it and that.
When they found the springs, Colin bent down to test the water. He lost his footing, slipped and fell in.
See, you'd think you'd be careful doing something like that.
Well, they've already gone off the designated path. They've thrown caution to the wind here, Neil.
No, but I mean, when you're sticking your hand in to check the temperature, surely you'd be like... Let me just make sure I've got my foot in. Like.
I've seen you trip over nothing before.
You're
always nearly. You don't fall very often, but you're always nearly going arse over tit.
That's dyspraxia. Thank you very much. Why is that funny?
Sable attempted to help her brother, but was unable. And due to there being no reception in the area, she had to walk back to a nearby museum for help. When rescue teams arrived on scene, portions of Colin's head, upper torso and hands were visible. But due to the lack of movement and severe burns due to the extreme temperatures, it was determined that Colin was already dead. And because of the boiling temperatures of the water, as well as a lightning storm which was approaching, they were unable to recover his body.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely dangerous for them as well.
Yeah.
The following day... They arrived to attempt to recover his remains. But again, due to the boiling temperatures and the acidity of the water, there wasn't much left to recover as his body had pretty much dissolved.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, the temperatures of the thermal springs is about 92 degrees Celsius or 198 Fahrenheit, with steam vents reaching up to 135 Celsius or 275 Fahrenheit.
You'll never get me in one of them.
At the time of recovery, recorded temperatures reached 100 degrees Celsius and 212 Fahrenheit. Yellowstone's deputy chief ranger said, quote, "The whole area is geothermally active. There's a closure in place to protect people from doing that for their own safety. It's a very unforgiving environment."
It's not closed off enough, is it? They still managed to get in.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they have the signs up.
Yeah, but do you know what they should do with something like that?
They're literally having to fence people into one area, it seems.
So what they should do is, you know when you go to the zoo and, like, you'll be looking at gorillas or tigers and that, and they have the glass?
Mm-hmm.
Do that around it.
I mean, you would think the signs would be enough, but clearly not.
No, there's always going to be some gobshite.
Namely, like, you.
Let's go for a dip.
I mean, well, to be fair to you, you said you wouldn't go near a hot spring.
No.
But generally speaking, I'd say you're the person to
fall in with my dyspraxia.
Possibly, yes. But I mean, just wander off and be like, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm going to see if I'm doing any scrumping in this area.
Brilliant.
Now, as horrifying as the story is itself, there's a little bit more.
Someone else has done it.
No, just another detail to the story revolving around Colin.
Hmm.
Colin and his sister had been recording their trip through the park, and the incident itself, as well as her attempts to rescue him, were recorded on her phone.
And hopefully deleted now.
Well, I mean, they weren't released.
All right.
I mean, good. They should never be released, but, you know, it's just fucking horrifying.
Hmm. So before you move on to the next one,
mm-hmm.
I want to make a guess.
Okay.
A more educated guess than someone on the ceiling. Well, I said someone on the roof, didn't I?
To be honest with you, some of the ones I've come across, I don't think there is a bad guess here.
Okay. Quicksand.
No.
You couldn't find a quicksand?
I didn't say I couldn't.
Oh.
But look at the aggression. Right, like I said to you earlier, any guesses you make, write them down for me and I will try and find them for the part two of this.
Okay. Choked on an inhaler.
You want me to find that?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. The atomic wedgie. In Oklahoma, in December of 2013, a 35-year-old man named Brad Lee Davis got... That's Brad Lee, by the way, not Bradley Davis.
Wait. Right. Atomic wedgie is in what I think an atomic wedgie is.
Mm-hmm.
Why is a 30-odd-year-old bloke wedgieing people?
Well, it gets better or worse depending on how you look at it.
Okay.
35-year-old Brad Lee Davis got into a fight with his stepfather, 58-year-old Denver Lee St. Clair. So 35 and 58.
What'd you do?
Brad wedgied the stepfather.
Right, I apologise because that was unexpected. I really weren't expecting that. If I got into a fight with my father, I think the last thing what would cross my mind is, right, now it's time to finish him. I'm going to turn him round and pull his kegs up over his head.
Well, it seems Brad and Denver didn't get along, with Brad claiming that his stepfather had bullied him his whole life. That night, as Brad's mother was in hospital following hip surgery and both men had been drinking, Brad claimed that Denver had been speaking poorly about his mother.
Oh.
During the altercation, Brad knocked Denver to the ground before grabbing the elastic waistband of his underwear. He then pulled it up and over Denver's head and around his neck, causing him to be strangled by the material. After this, it was reported that Brad then took pictures of Denver while he was laid unconscious on the ground. His cause of death was blunt force trauma and asphyxiation. Brad pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter and was sentenced to 30 years in prison.
Nah.
So there have been, like I said, during the altercation, it came to this, but there was clearly some shit going on, yeah. You know. And there's a backstory there. There's a history of some type of friction, whatever the case was.
And you've got to think, when he got to the prison and like, what are you in for? No one's going to believe him.
You'd probably just say manslaughter. You wouldn't really want to elaborate, would you?
Fuck sake. You can't top that. When you said it was a 30-odd year old man, an atomic wedgie, I thought it was going to be an accident. Like he got caught, he was up a
caught
tree.
Caught on a fence or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it like ripped him open or something.
No.
Right.
This was murder by atomic wedgie. The fridge. During a snowstorm on the 28th of November 2009 in Iowa, 25-year-old Larry Eli Murillo Moncada ran out of his parents' house at approximately 6:15 p.m.
Larry Moncada. There's no need to fucking have all that.
Well, that's his full name.
I'd never call him that.
But it's not your choice. If he wants to double barrel it, he can double barrel it.
It's fucking more than double barrel.
Well, anyway, 25-year-old Larry ran out of his parents' home at approximately 6:15 p.m., leaving behind his keys, his car, and he was not wearing any shoes or even socks. In the days leading up to this, Larry had appeared disoriented and confused. His mother brought him to the doctors and he was prescribed antidepressants, but this didn't seem to help. Larry continued with feelings of disorientation and he would start to hear voices followed by hallucinations, his mother said. He had also told a family friend that someone was following him and that he had become frightened. Following his exit from his parents' house on the 28th of November, they were of course incredibly worried about him. They called around friends and family, but no one had seen or heard from Larry. So his parents decided to file a missing persons report. Jumping forward 10 years. On the 24th of January 2019, Larry's body was found and less than half a mile away from his home.
In 10 years?
10 years their son had been missing.
Half a mile?
Half a mile. In the no-frills supermarket where Larry had once worked, his body was found wedged between the walls and the coolers.
10 years?
10 years.
And not one person thought, what's that smell?
That's what I'm thinking.
It's deliberate.
So, between the wall and the coolers, it's a 12-foot drop, okay?
Mm.
And the space between the coolers and the wall was about 18 inches. And Larry's body was positioned sort of sideways between them.
He's been chucked there.
It's all a bit dodgy, in my opinion. So the supermarket had been shut since 2016, and it was only when a contractor had been called in to remove shelving as well as the coolers that his body was found. His body becomes so badly decomposed that he was unable to be visually identified. But the clothing matched with what Larry had been last seen wearing. A navy blue hoodie and light blue bottoms. An autopsy would later reveal no signs of trauma, and his death was determined to have been accidental.
Nah, he's been lobbed there.
Quote, "This is the first time in my career that I've seen a body in this type of condition."
That's 10 years.
It's a long time.
That's, yeah. I'm surprised it's not just Bowen.
Now, the location of the body seems strange, but there's a relatively easy answer to it. The area above the coolers was predominantly used for storage, but it was also a spot where the employees at the supermarket would climb up onto and take an unofficial break.
Mm.
As for how no one heard him, this was put down to the noise of the coolers. They were that loud, it's believed that they would have drowned out any shouts or cries for help that Larry may have made.
I don't think they're that loud.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's being corroborated by people who work there. And, you know, I'm sure the contractors could probably attest to that as well. But like you said, What I do find strange is how no one seemed to notice the smell of decomposition. That just, it doesn't make sense to me. Mm. At no point, no one ever got a whiff.
Yeah. Unless it was just a smelly area. You know how there's always them areas you don't know why? You could be out walking your dog or whatever, and there's that certain spot, every time you walk through it, it's like, it fucking stinks of shit. Yeah. You don't know why.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't necessarily investigate to find the body.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, my God. So I could be walking past a body, and I'm just going, it fucking stinks of shite round here.
You are from Sheffield.
I'm talking about here.
What I also find a bit odd here, knowing that he worked at the supermarket at the time of his death, did police not speak to his co-workers? Did no one see him enter the store that day? Why was the CCTV not checked at the time of his disappearance?
The other thing is, so you said round there, that's where the staff would go for an unofficial break, mm-hmm. guessing like a fag break. No one smelled or noticed anything then?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or heard him?
But that's what I'm, in terms of the smell, how staff were there all the time.
Yeah.
It's not like an isolated area and you kind of go, oh, surely someone would have noticed. They were there all the time.
Yeah.
And they're right above a decomposing body, a few feet up from it.
Just having a fag.
How did they not notice it? And like I said, the CCTV talking to the managers and staff there, apparently his boss told police that he was not on shift that day. And it doesn't appear that much more was looked into. But it was said that it was common for employees to enter the store while not on shift. So, there's something doesn't ring true here. You know what I mean?
The way he was positioned, it sounds like he was lobbed in.
It's all very sus to me. It seems that Larry and his family were well and truly fucking failed in this case.
Yeah.
It's just there's something sus.
No, it needs like a Columbo looking into that.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a few cases of unusual deaths and some of the bizarre locations that bodies have been found. Definitely room for a part 2, 3, 4, 5.
Please do. Please do. But I don't think you're going to beat the atomic wedgie.
I don't mean to be, you know, of course, with any episode we do, I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's just some of these are wild. Like, I mean, that with Larry, I think that should be reopened. There should be a full, obviously his body's that badly decomposed, I understand. And they're saying they didn't find any signs of trauma.
Yeah.
Did someone push him down there? Like, I don't buy it.
No.
And I don't want to be that fucking guy who's like, oh, well, because I've said it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, eh.
Hang on, you said the last one were a fridge. Where was the fridge?
Like coolers, fridges kind of thing.
Okay,
yeah. You get what I mean? Like industrial.
Right. Do you know what I thought you were going with that? Because you said he'd left the house, he didn't have his shoes on, he didn't take his car keys or anything, and he'd gone for 10 years. And I thought, has he got a room? Like, is he living in the basement and he's got a fridge down there and he's been in the fridge the whole time?
No.
That's what I thought you was going to say.
Maybe I should have called it the cooler. I apologize. Yes. Depends on where you read. People say behind fridges, behind coolers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Nah, poor sod.
It's fucking sad.
Yeah.
You know, like with the case of Colin, yes, it's fucking sad. You know, it's a 23-year-old lad.
Mm.
But it's also frustrating that he didn't just follow the signage and the instructions to stay on the path.
Yeah.
Whereas Larry, in this case, you know, he was clearly going through it with his mental health and the worry his family must have felt when he left that day. You know?
Yeah. Well, do you know what I get from that? So a word to our listeners. When you're at work and you're having an unofficial break, because you will be having an unofficial break.
I take several.
Look around. Check your surroundings. Don't just sit there enjoying your fag.
Look in every crevice you can. Crevice.
Crack.
Slit.
Gash.
Oh.
Gusset.
Gusset.
So, oddity.
Vagina teeth.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
Nope.
You don't really get a choice here, if I'm honest with you.
That's...
You gotta sit
through
it. Isn't
there a movie about that where a woman was killing teeth. People with a...
Yes, teeth. Yes, it's a good one. You gotta watch... I tried to get you to watch it. You refused to watch it. It's kind of...
I nearly slipped up then and said a word I shouldn't, but...
Well... I was actually going to ask you... Well, not you, because I know you haven't, but to the listeners... Have you ever seen the movie Teeth? Because that's kind of...
The movie's actually called Teeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
I bet it is, yeah. Sounds it.
Have you ever heard of vagina dentata? I think I'm pronouncing that right.
This isn't a real thing.
No.
Okay.
Depending on who you ask. If you believe it, you know? So, vagina dentata is a mythical notion that a vagina has teeth. There's many different mythologies surrounding this all over the world, so we'll get into that another day for an oddity.
Right.
But essentially, it was a way to vilify and villainize women and their sexuality, but also to play on men's fears of castration, sort of a cautionary tale.
Yeah, them fucking harlots.
In 2005, South African doctor Sanet Ellers created a device which kind of made this a potential reality.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why do you want it? Like you'd go and get dentures put in your slit?
No, not exactly. So originally named Rapex, its name was then changed to the Rape Axe, I believe it's pronounced. Basically, the device is a latex sheath that a woman inserts, similar to a female condom, lined with barbed ridges.
This isn't real.
No, it is.
This sounds like something in Saw. Rape X? Are you taking the piss?
No. No, I'm not. So basically, should someone attempt to sexually assault the user of the device, the teeth latch onto the attacker's penis. The aim is that if the attacker wants to be safely freed from the device, they would have to go to the hospital for it to be surgically removed, and that would give the hospital the opportunity to alert the police.
Sorry, I didn't even think of it that way. I'm all for this.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm all for... Well, I'm not a sexual attacker, so I'm... Yeah. I'm
a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, I'm all for that. That's a brilliant idea. If you're not allowed to own a gun or a knife... or pepper spray over here, mm-hmm. you should be able to insert whatever you want inside yourself to fucking chop the prick off.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm all for this. Fair play to, what is it?
Sonet. Sonet said of her invention, quote, "Nothing has ever been done to help a woman so that she does not get raped. And I thought it was high time."
Fair play to her.
Well, the device drew controversy, with one activist claiming that this device was, quote, vengeful, horrible and disgusting.
Yeah, rapist.
And that, quote, the woman who invented this needs help. Another person said, it's a, quote, terrifying thought that women are being made to adapt to rape by wearing these devices. Criticism was also directed at this invention for the fact that it doesn't actually do anything to prevent sexual assaults. It's to injure the attacker, thus allowing them time to be identified, as well as the attacker having to seek medical treatment and essentially confirming that they are a sexual predator. Not to mention, if you were to be attacked while using this device, this is the best case scenario. What is actually incredibly likely is that the attacker, who is clearly already an aggressive individual, becomes enraged and further acts of violence are inflicted onto the person using this device. In response to the backlash, Sonet said of her invention, quote, "It's a medieval device for a medieval deed." And I mean, if that was her intention, then I think she was successful.
Yeah.
My opinion on this is, although I couldn't give a fuck about the attacker getting hurt as a result, this is just sort of another way of putting the responsibility back onto the victim of the attack. I understand that a woman may want to protect herself, particularly when, at the time of the initial publication of this device, it was reported that 1.5 million rapes occur in South Africa. So, sexual assault is a big concern.
Yeah.
But it's also putting people in, potentially, a more aggravated, scary position. And you also have to consider, what if there are multiple attackers? One may be injured and preoccupied with that, but the others are likely to get angry that you could have hurt them or the fact that you tried to protect yourself at all.
So, do you want my thoughts?
Of course, always.
Well and truly, I mean this. I think these should be available on the NHS. I think it should be more common knowledge just to put the fear in men that someone could be wearing that.
But again, you're putting the responsibility onto the woman.
Yeah. But I don't see any other way around it.
Well,
I wish I could just go up to a man and go, stop it. And him to go, okay. Men are always going to be bastards.
Well, faced with the argument that we should be educating men first rather than waiting for the sexual assault to occur, Sonette's response was, quote, I'm not an educator. I will go for those they can't educate.
I like this, Sonette.
Do you?
Yeah.
We have very different opinions on this device.
I think it's a brilliant device.
Do you not understand the problem with putting the responsibility back onto
the woman? No, I get that. But I don't see any other way than the woman having to take on the role.
I know what you're saying. There's always going to be bad people, but we don't put a lot into trying to stop it in the first place. Think of just when we were younger, when we were teenagers, and it wasn't that long ago. We're still pretty young.
Well.
Yeah, well.
My knees crack every time I get up.
I'm always grunting and groaning every time I sit up. Not even get up, sit up.
No word of a lie, the other week I sneezed and pulled my back out.
My point being, it's not that long ago that we were teenagers. Do you remember how horrifically teenage boys spoke about girls and women?
Yeah.
That was normal. That was fucking normal to do. And although, you know, you're seeing some progression and we're seeing a bit more awareness and responsibility, we're also seeing a massive dip in other demographics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you not think we need to try prevent it first and foremost before just immediately putting the responsibility back onto the woman?
Yeah. But I think as a precaution, I think this is a brilliant idea. They should make it more like a guillotine. So as soon as something goes in, it's off.
Well, although I admire the attempt to aid in identifying the attacker, overall, I think this was a swing and a miss. And as far as I'm aware, the rape axe, or whatever the fuck it's called, never made its way to market in the end.
Oh. I suppose you can get it on the black market.
See, I think this is quite interesting that, we, you know, like the male perspective here.
Hmm. I thought you would see it as it's refreshing that I bid for it.
I don't want to sound like an asshole to you here, but I think you're proving the point of how men look at this versus women. When I started reading about this, I was like, this is a terrible idea. I can understand why a woman might purchase it for her own comfort. She wants it.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like, this is what we're doing about sexual assault.
No.
You know.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's the same as a woman buying a can of pepper spray, buying a gun. It's her own choice.
But don't you think the intention of the product is kind of just putting it back on women?
Well, it's his dick what's going to need sewing back on.
Right, the product is out. Well, it's not. Actually, didn't make its way to market, but let's say it did. The product's out there, and should you choose to buy it, you know, have at it. Again, I don't give a fuck about the attacker getting hurt.
Yeah.
But the initial steps, when you're planning out this, you know, when you're inventing this product, don't you think it's a little bit misguided? Or are you all for it still?
I haven't really thought about it.
Do you mean like because you haven't felt, generally speaking, in that position?
Yeah.
That's kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep laughing at me.
So I just told you when you're gone, I haven't really thought about it. Here, I was thinking, what if we, you know, maybe did a series of oddities where we cover mythology? Like each oddity, we could cover a different region or country. They're like their version of, you know, not just vagina teeth, but like folklore in general. You know, because it varies from places. Do you want me to do a series on vagina teeth? Would you like that?
No, it doesn't have to always be on vagina teeth.
Well, it doesn't always have to be, but would you like me to cover that as part of it? Because now I'm kind of interested. Like, I like how some are like about how women are bastards, you know? And then others are like, oh, lads, careful, you get penis chopped off. Like, so they're...
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. Listeners, let us know in comments if you want more of this, or...
If you want the episode to end with the moral of stay away from women's vaginas, they're no good.
Yeah.
We can, yeah, we can certainly do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we'll see the divide.
Mm-hmm.